Well, it's Tuesday afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. That means it's time to go live. You can listen right here at Joy 620 or on WRJZ.com. We'll have it up on podcasts, all kinds of places to listen. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. So today we got a big show. There's a lot of news we could focus on. We could focus on the UT athletic director search is over. They have finally hired somebody. We are not going to talk about that, but that is big news here in Knoxville. We're going to talk about baby showers tonight and what that allows us at Hope Resource Center to do for this community and our patients. And I want to start at a place that you may not understand why I'm starting there, but partly because I'm selfish and it's just bothering me, is this giraffe on Facebook. Have you seen the giraffe on Facebook that refuses to have this baby and go into labor? And so I'm not sure what a baby giraffe is called. I grew up on a farm, but we had cows and horses, and you have calves and colts. We did not have giraffes, and so I don't know what a baby giraffe is called. But what I do know is, I don't know, about 5 days ago, this zoo posts a video on Facebook, a live video, and says, at any moment, this giraffe, whatever the giraffe's name is going to have a baby, is going to give birth. And I'll just let you know, from a farm boy standpoint, okay, I was 11, 12 years old walking through the field when I was a kid, and one of our cows went into labor. And I saw it from beginning to end, water breaking, and here comes baby calf. Traumatizing, to say the least. 12 years old, never seen anything like that in my life. And so putting a live feed on labor of a giraffe, I would say, is similar to that of a cow. And just depending on the ages that are watching, that could be traumatizing. But the point of all that is, it has now been almost a week, and that giraffe is still holding on. So either what we have here is, we either have a zoo that is not being completely honest with us, but they have genius marketing people. And they said, look, we're going to put this live video, everyone's going to watch it, and this giraffe isn't even pregnant. And so we're going to have people watch and want to come visit our zoo and keep their eyes on it. Because you know there's been people that have watched hours and hours of this video. Or you have a giraffe that's like, yeah, y'all just misscheduled. This is, I'm not even ready to have this baby. And so if you're on Facebook and you're watching this giraffe, it has been quite amazing. And what it's shown me is, if my wife gets pregnant, again, we have three kids, and so if we get pregnant with number four, you better believe there's going to be a live feed. And we're going to get sponsors and everything and make a real run at it. And I think it'll be good. It'll be good for social media. But that's really the path that we're going down. So that has nothing to do with Hope, but please, please, giraffe woman, or whatever you call those female giraffes, please have this baby soon, so that Facebook can get back to bad political rhetoric and anger and those things that we use social media for. So go look that up on Facebook. Watch the giraffe walk around her kennel, or whatever that is they call that, and wait for her at some point to give birth to this beautiful baby giraffe. That would be something. Maybe it'll be traumatizing, but either way, you'll eventually get to see this giraffe have a baby. And that's something that many of us can say we've never seen before. So you'll get to be a part of that. And so that transitions me in now to baby showers. Makes sense, because at some point somebody's going to throw that giraffe a baby shower. So at Hope Resource Center, we throw over 50 baby showers every single year at Hope Resource Center. And just the other day, we were able to throw five baby showers, and actually six, but five in one day and then one the next day for some patients. And the reason I bring that up is because I think it's important that we understand that part of the work that we do, yes, we are a medical clinic, yes, all those things, those things are very important to what we do. We provide the pregnancy test, the ultrasounds, the STD testing, and all of those things. We want to be a medical clinic. But at our roots, kind of who we are at Hope Resource Center is serving the community. And so not only do we want to provide those services for for those moms. But we also want to be there for them after baby gets here. And so these moms have participated in parenting classes and mentoring and are well on their way to providing for their child. These baby showers point to the truth of what we do at Hope. We love mom and baby before, during, and after the pregnancy. You see, our pro-life ethic is not based on proximity, in or out of the womb. It is instead all-inclusive. We had the pleasure a couple weeks ago, as I said, to continue this very worthy tradition as we brought in five moms to shower with gifts. Now, for many of our patients, their Hope shower will be the only baby shower during the pregnancy that they receive. We understand this and always encourage support systems and, of course, always welcome family and friends to join in this moment with these moms. And it is in joyous occasions like this that doubt can creep in. We all find ourselves in these moments. The toughness of our realities can often make the day-to-day difficult. We start to believe the lie, no one cares. This happens to the best of us, and our patients are certainly no different. We desire for our patients to understand that they are loved and cared for. This truth is why a group of women from Providence Church here in town came in and transformed our conference room into a beautiful venue, prepared food, and prayed for these moms. Whether the patient realizes it or not, there is an army of support behind them. And this is illustrated in a very real way at each of these baby showers as patients are lavished with gifts. And you see, these items don't just show up at Hope. They are donated by people like you. Every single item and service we provide happens because of our community partners. We could not do what we do without you is not a throwaway line at Hope. It was true in 1997 and it is true today in 2017. This is why I try to be available for every baby shower at Hope. Now for some, that's weird. I'm most of the time, the only guy in there at the baby shower. But I want to be in there because I love seeing people love people. These showers bear witness to that as our mentors, staff, and community partners continue to show up. We have been at this work for 20 years, and we pray that the Lord would see fit to give us 20 more. But regardless of how much time we are allotted, it is safe to say that baby showers and people loving people will always be a constant as long as Hope continues to open its doors. So that is who we are at Hope Resource Center, and we're able to do that. And we've been able to do that for 20 years because of people like you. And so those baby showers, yes, they're fun and they're they're joyous occasions. But what we all know is even in those joyous occasions, that is when doubt can slip in. That is when Satan can kind of get in there and say, yeah, you may be having the shower today, but don't forget, no one cares about you. Don't forget your man has bounced. Don't forget that your family is not being supported. Don't forget and fill in the blank. And so we understand that at Hope. That isn't just an issue for our patients. That's an issue for us. You know, we find ourselves going, well, I should be happy. I should be filled with joy right now, but for some reason I'm not. I'm doubting myself. My insecurities are finding their way to the surface. I'm filled with anxiety. And so what we try to do within those baby showers and within our mentoring and parenting classes program is to show those patients, we're not saying that the doubt won't come. We're not saying that anxieties won't show themselves. We're not saying that insecurities will not creep up. What we're saying is, in the midst of all of that, you have value. What we're saying is, in the midst of all of that, your baby needs you. There are people that love you. There is an army within this community of support, of churches coming together, of organizations coming together. I got a check in the mail today from a business saying, hey, we want to stand with you. There's multiple businesses that do that. And so I bring those things up to show you that yes, our patients may find themselves facing doubt. They are finding themselves with an uphill climb. But they're not alone. And so we're coming alongside of them. Now, I don't want to be unrealistic. I don't want to be like the, you know, at times the footprints in the sand. You remember that poem and the footprints in the sand? And then there was two sets of footprints, and there was one set of footprints to show what? That Jesus kind of picked you up and walked you. Well, we're not Jesus per se, but we are walking alongside these patients because they were made in the image of God and because they matter to us. And so what we want them to know when they walk out of our doors is, I'm not alone in this. Hope, somebody at Hope is just a phone call away. We had a family come in today and they're struggling. And so we're walking in that process of, what does that mean? How can we help? How can we offer assistance? How can we provide where needed? Not how can we enable, but how can we help them get to where they desire to be? How can we help them in these situations? And the beautiful thing about that, the beautiful thing is through your work, through your gifts, through your prayers, we're able to do that. And so these patients are able to walk away and say, I'm not alone in this, because a stranger wrote a check, because a stranger prayed, because a stranger volunteered, because a stranger became a friend through mentoring. I mean, think about how awesome that is. And so the fact that we have the opportunity to truly put action to our words and to look at what Scripture says, and Scripture says, love your neighbor. And instead of just reading that and saying, well, of course I love my neighbor, we're able to actually say, yes. And so I'm going to give, I'm going to pray, I'm going to provide, I'm going to come in and help with a baby shower. Those things are huge for these families. Life transforming for these families. And sometimes life saving for these families. The baby shower we had a few weeks ago, a patient came in and pretty much throughout the parenting classes and the mentoring process, she was kind of flat, wasn't smiling, didn't seem very happy about the situation she was in. But then she comes to the baby shower and she sees the car seat be brought in. Then she sees the stroller, and then she sees the pack and play, and then she sees the diapers, and then she sees the diaper bag, and then she sees the clothes and all of these things. And you could watch her light up. It's as if it was clear at that moment, I'm not in this alone. People do care. People are here for me. I do matter to these people. And that type of affirmation, that type of love, changes everything. Absolutely changes everything. And so we thank you. We thank you for standing with us. We thank you for helping us do that at Hope Resource Center. We'll be back in a sec.
Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you for listening. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. We certainly appreciate your support and your standing with us. And so we talked about the baby showers and, of course, the giraffe, which was very important in the first segment. And then now what I want to look at is, and we talked about this a number of times, but personhood. And what does it mean to be, what does it mean to be pro-life? What does that truly represent in our society? And I was just looking at an article the other day, and it really, it crushes me because it, some of the realities that we find across this world, when we truly look, you know, A lot of people will talk about progress and progressivism and being progressive and how that is a good thing and all of this. And then I read stories like this of things going on around the world. And it boggles the mind that this is where we are today. And so the statistic that I'm about to give is alarming. And what it says is no babies with Down syndrome had been born in Iceland in the last 5 years because 100% of expectant moms undergo prenatal screening for Down syndrome, and 100% who get a positive result abort. Now think about that. So in Iceland, people are getting pregnant, and then they have a test that, and just know this, these tests are not foolproof, but they have these tests, and they are then told your baby has Down syndrome or your baby doesn't have Down syndrome. And in Iceland, if these moms are told they have Down syndrome, 100% of them have aborted. Again, we talked about this the other day. We are attacking and legalizing around the world the extinction of a demographic. And so we saw this, we saw this with the Holocaust. We saw this with slavery. What we have done in the past is we have looked at a segment of the population and have determined they have less value. And so in that determination, we then say, because of them having less value, we should rid this earth of them. And we're seeing that in Iceland with Down syndrome kids. We see that here in America. And so what does that say about who we are as people? What does that say about us when we get to the point of not caring enough about people? I mean, it's concerning. And that's an understatement. But that's our reality. That's our reality today. Is we want to say that, you know, life is valuable. We want to say that this life or that life matters and all of these things, but ultimately we are completely fine with attacking a segment of the population, that segment being the unborn. Now, we wrap that up in a number of different things, but ultimately, we are saying some people matter more than other people. And we cannot be a people, you know, we can't sustain a society, we can't sustain a culture if we get to the point where people don't matter. And so as you're saying your prayers, as you're meditating throughout the day and talking to the Lord and kind of going through that process, I would encourage you to pray for the people in Iceland. I mean, that is a huge deal that's happening there, and we have to, as a people, at some point rise up and say that's not okay. That's not okay. And it's not okay here. It's not okay there. It's not okay anywhere. I didn't mean to sound like Dr. Seuss, but it isn't. It isn't okay anywhere. And so what are we prepared to do? What conversations are we prepared to have? How far are we prepared to go legislatively to see this change? I mean, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And so as a pro-life people, and specifically, most folks that are listening to this would also be a part of a local church. So as a pro-life Christian people, what does that mean in our society? What does that mean legislatively? What does that mean
with the Supreme Court? What does that mean with at a neighbor level with friends and with coworkers and with our charitable gifts? What does that mean? What type of organizations are we standing with? Where are we sending our funds? What are we prepared? Are we prepared to go that far and say, I care about this enough to write a check. I care about this enough to volunteer. I care about this enough to pray. Because, folks, I'm just going to let you know that there are people in our community right now that are hurting. There are people in our community right now that need assistance. There are people in our community right now that are facing an unplanned pregnancy, and they don't know what they are going to do because of X, Y, and Z, whether they have the funds, the insurance, or fill in the blank. And so what are we prepared? What are we prepared to do? Are we prepared to help? Are we willing to help? Do we see them as a person deserving of our love? Do we see them as an image bearer deserving of our care? Do we see them as a human being that deserves dignity and respect? Or is that a segment of the population that we don't really care about? And so we're not going to put the effort in. Well, folks, they were made in the image of God. They were made in the image of God. And that should provoke something inside of us to do something. And so if that is true, and if we love them well, what are we going to do? How can we help? And I'm not saying just throw out, you know, offering handouts. I'm not saying that at all. But a lot of folks that are listening to this show would say, well, it's not the government's responsibility. And I would agree with you. A lot of folks that listen to this show would say it's the church's responsibility. And I would agree with you. But who's the church? We're the hands and the feet. And so when we see a neighbor in distress, when we see a neighbor struggling and needing assistance, how do we help? Now, there's ways of helping that hurts, and we don't go that direction. But if we see moms that are struggling, we see moms that need help with their babies, or moms that need help with their care and their pregnancy care. It's not enough to say, well, the government will take care of it. It's not enough to say, well, somebody else will come along. That's where we've found our success at Hope Resource Center since 1997 is the amount of people that have come out and said, we stand with you. Which reality means, or really means, they're looking at that patient and saying, we stand with you. And we care about you. That's why we've had 10,000 plus donors, individual donors, in 20 years. That's why we've had hundreds of churches stand with us. Hundreds, thousands of churches stand with us during these 20 years. Businesses stand with us. To not just say, hey, we stand with you at Hope, but to tell that patient, you're not alone in this. To tell that baby, you're not alone in this. That's what we're able to do. We'll be back. My hope is found. He is my life. And we're back. It's Andrew with Hope Resource Center. Thank you again for listening. Right now I want to get into an article that I found on Conservative Review, and you can find them online. The title of the article, the headline, and most of us in society now, we're headline readers. And so that's really all we look at, the headline, the picture, and then we make our own assumptions before we even read the article. This one caught my eye. It's called Why Declining Birth Rates Are a Serious Problem. And so the author, Logan Albright, starts off with this. The pitter-patter of little feet grows even ever fainter in Spain, where birth rates have dipped into dangerously low levels. Each Spanish couple now produces, on average, just 1.32 children, meaning that the country's population could soon take a nosedive. I mean, they've even got to a point where they're bringing in people to look at this and see what's going on. And so what we have is the question we must ask is, why is this relevant to the United States? Well, it turns out Americans have been slouching in the reproduction department as well, with birth rates trending downward for some time. It may not seem like a big deal. I mean, environmentalists have been warning about the dangers of overpopulation for years, but in fact, the U.S. is in no danger of running out of room, and a shrinking population poses a serious public policy problem. Two of the biggest concerns policymakers should have about low birth rates are the future of Social Security and Medicare, both entitlement programs built on the idea of taxing the young to pay for the old. And so if we have less people, that's a problem. So if nothing else, this should alert lawmakers to the urgency of meaningful entitlement reform unless steps are taken to adjust the way Social Security does business. It will not be long before retirees find themselves in the position of suddenly finding their pensions yanked out from under them. But it's not just about entitlements. It's about more than that. A stable population is important even for a country with no public support for the elderly. Think of it this way. Suppose the country has a workforce of 100 million workers. Each of these workers needs some sort of equipment to do his job, whether it's be a computer, power tools, or building, or factory machinery. The workers and the equipment combine to produce goods and services that satisfy the needs and improves the lives of consumers. Now suppose that a generation passes, and due to low birth rates, the workforce has been reduced to only 80 million. All that equipment still exists, but with fewer people to make use of it, some of it will lay idle. And so then factories go idle, and so on and so forth. So a persistent decline in birth rates then has the potential to wreak havoc on our economy, even a robust one like the U.S. And so there are a number of reasons. This article took the path of it could hurt the economy, it could hurt public funding and different things like that. But there's a bigger question I think we need to answer. Why are families, why are young couples choosing not to have babies? Now, in some of those cases, they're getting abortions, or they're starting on birth control at a very early age, or, you know, fill in the blank what's going on. But some of them are just saying, look, I'm not ready to have a family. I don't want a family. Some of that is due to the family atmosphere they grew up in. And they say, I can't be a parent to the child. I don't want to be like my parents were to me. And I think there's something to folks not encouraging. So parents not encouraging their children to have kids. I remember when I got married, my wife and I got married, we were 22 years old. And everybody was coming in and saying, wait to have kids. Wait, I mean, y'all get to know each other, love each other, have fun together, and then have kids. And I'm like, well, isn't that part of the courtship? Like, as we're courting, if you want to use that term, as we're going through the process of figuring out if we want to marry each other, isn't that when we're getting to know each other and doing all of those things? But I felt like the people of the church, friends, family, everybody's saying, look, you need to wait. Maybe wait 5, 6, 7 years. Wait till you're closer to 30. Wait till you've kind of put your feet in stable ground with your job and those type things. Get your financial situation taken care of before you decide to have kids. Well, now as a dad to three, if you wait till you're financially able to have kids, you will never have kids. I mean, that's just how it goes. Kids cost money. If you wait till your marriage is at a rock solid point and there's no issues between you and your spouse, then you will never have kids. Why? Because we're broken people. And so I'm not saying that you should get married and boom, have a kid, but I'm also not saying you shouldn't do that. But we as a society, we as believers have been called to do this and to reproduce and to raise up a family. But even put that to the side for a second. A society will not sustain itself without men and women reproducing. It just won't happen. Cultures will not sustain themselves without people reproducing. And so have those conversations with your children. Speak of the importance of family. Speak of the importance of being a parent. Speak of the importance of raising up men and women to do great things in this country. Because it is important for us to do that. I'm already having conversations with my kids about family and what that looks like. And you know, telling my son, one day you'll marry a girl. Telling my daughter, one day you'll marry a boy. Those are normal conversations to have. Why? Because they see what's going on in the home. They see that mama and daddy had babies. One day we will. And so we should be concerned about this. I think part of it too, if you want to look at another reason for this, and we were having this conversation the other day, there's a movie coming out that's talking about storming the beaches of Normandy and what that took and the bravery and the courage. And you got 18, 19-year-olds storming the beaches. I mean, just a different breed of men. And someone asked, what if we had the draft today? And I said, we'd be in trouble. Because the 18 and 19-year-olds of yesteryear are much different than the 18, 19-year-olds of today. Now, granted, we might not be storming the beaches of, I was going to say Cheyenne, that's a great great Garth Brooks song, but it has nothing to do with this. But we might not be storming the beaches of Normandy because of the what we have at our disposal in terms of warfare now. But we do have a segment of the population that still enjoys being children. And so they still like doing things that they did as a kid, and they struggle with embracing their responsibility as an adult, as a man, as a woman. And I say this as a millennial. So we have to understand that we've been called to something more, something greater. Men have been called to lead and work hard. And so as we walk through that process and as we see birth rates decline, maybe that's why we're seeing abortion rates decline. Because people are just choosing not to reproduce. So it's not just abortions, but it's taking precautions to not have children. And so what does that mean for our society? What does that mean for our churches? What does that mean for our communities, for our culture? And so just something to think about as you kind of look at your circle of influence and your family and friends, and maybe you're like me and you have young kids and you're trying to figure out when, you know, what does that look like? How do I encourage them, you know, as they age and get older, how do I encourage them to start that family? When do we encourage them to start that family? But ultimately, not putting a stigma on having children. Not saying things like, it'll be a burden. Man, if you get married and then you're not even married a year and you get pregnant, man, that what a burden that would be. Does that sound like a pro-life ethic? Is that something that we want to be pushing? Now, we need to be smart and make right decisions. But that's not celebrating. That's not celebrating marriage. That's not celebrating what we've been called to do. And so think through those as you have those conversations with your kids. As you hear these conversations come up within your church, I think it's important. You don't want to be that person that just corrects everybody all the time. You know, that gets old. But at times when people come up to you at church and say things like, make sure you put it off as long as you can. Don't have kids. put it off as long, you know, that's not celebrating a pro-life ethic. Or maybe you're young and you have multiple kids and people come up to you and say, you know how to prevent that, don't you? Hear that at church all the time. I remember we were pregnant with our third. People would say, oh my gosh, I don't know how you're doing it. Ugh, two was enough. One was enough. And I'm sitting there going, I'm in church. This isn't something I should be hearing from fellow believers. Like, we should be celebrating that a married couple have chosen to go on and have more kids. There's nothing wrong with that. Why should we frown on that? And so just something we need to think about as we're having these conversations about life and about birth rates and abortion rates and all of these things ultimately kind of run together. And so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our society and for our culture? And so I hope that you would celebrate it. Remember, our pro-life ethic has to also include our language and the conversations that we're having. And so if we have a married couple and they are having multiple children, or they're fostering and adopting and they're having to get a 12-passenger van, well, maybe that's what the Lord has for them. All right, we'll be back.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. Again, you can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can listen to this entire show on podcast later this week. We'll have it on our website as well as iTunes and other places. So we appreciate you listening. As we close out the show, some things I want to tell you about. We have our 20 Years of Hope banquet is coming up April 27th at the Foundry on the Fair site. And so we would love to have you join us. You can learn more about that on our website, investinghope.com, and then click on our Get Involved tab, and then you click on Events, and then you can learn more about Hope from there and about the banquet. That's going to be a great night. We are going to obviously celebrate the past 20 years and hear from a patient and get to hear her story and just have a great night of fellowship together, raise some money for Hope, and just have an opportunity to truly reflect on the last 20 years and what God has done through your gifts, your partnership with Hope Resource Center. I also want to let you know that next week, March 8th at 7 p.m. at the Knoxville First Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that address is 3611 Kingston Pike. You can, again, find this on our events page on our website, investinghope.com. We are partnering with Basswood Church for a benefit concert, and the benefit concert is going to feature a folk duo. They're called Between You and Me. And they're sisters, and they love the Lord and are very talented musicians. And so that's going to be a great night. That's at 7 o'clock. It's actually Basswood Church, but we're going to have the event at 3611 Kingston Pike here in Knoxville. Would love to have you join us for that. Bring a friend. It's going to be a good night. It's just going to be a night to hear some good music. Again, raise some money for Hope. And again, just as we go through 2017, as we go through this 20th year, we just want to celebrate what the Lord is doing, and this is just another opportunity to do that. So I would encourage you to join us March 8th, 7 p.m. For a benefit concert for Hope, and then of course April 27th, 20 Years of Hope banquet. That's at 6 o'clock. Doors will open at 6 o'clock. That's at the Foundry, 747 World's Fair Park Drive here in Knoxville. And dinner will be served at 6:30, and then the program will follow. If you want to learn more about that or have questions about that or want to talk about sponsorships, shoot me an email, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Would love to have that conversation with you. If you're listening today and you're like, you know what, I want to get involved, I want to maybe help with some baby showers, or I want to be a church liaison, or I want to be a prayer partner, or I want to be a, I want to donate, I want to be a financial partner, whatever that is, please email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Again, I would love to have that conversation with you, love to get you plugged in to what we're doing at Hope Resource Center. Because again, we could not do this work without your help and without your support. And so our patients thank you, our staff thanks you, our board thanks you, our medical executive committee thanks you, just for standing with us for so long. And we are certainly appreciative of that. So thank you so much for the work that you allow us to do and allowing us and helping us serve this community the best way we know how in providing the services that we provide. It really is an amazing opportunity that we get to participate in every single day. And it is not lost on us that we would not get to do that without our community partners. So thank you for that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking more about the events coming up. Also, I'm going to have, I was just texting earlier today with the pastor from Shoreline. Jason Hayes is the pastor at Shoreline Church out in North Shore, and he's going to be joining me on the 21st, and we're going to have a conversation about the local church and a conversation on life and how the local church partners with, and Shoreline's a great partner of Hope, and how we work together to serve this community in a number of different ways. And so excited about that. Be listening for that. Again, that's going to be the 21st, and then we'll have some more stuff for you between now and then. But as always, we appreciate you. We love you. And celebrate life in every opportunity you can. It's very important that we keep that pro-life ethic where it needs to be and celebrating it from womb to the tomb. We'll talk to you soon.